Jonah chapter 1, I'm looking to wrap up the book of Jonah today. I think this is the fourth or fifth. We're trusting God to speak to us this morning. And I know we will listen. We stopped last week in Jonah chapter 3. So let's quickly go over the book again. We said it's a book that shows the believer that there is nothing set in stone. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That means we keep serving him. Sometimes some people back on what they've done in the yesteryears. But now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And we said we have to keep up with the day to day what God is wanting now, or what God wants now. So the question is not what you did yesterday. And I prayed for you that time. I said, you will not be a yesterday's person.
Amen.
All the glory you can boast of. Let's put up this. All the glory you can boast of, all the achievements you boast of will not be in your yesterday's.
Amen.
You achieve for God.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
All right. So we said, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And he went somewhere else. I don't want us to go over because there's a lot to talk about today. And I feel this goes into one of those classics again. I was taking a look at the book again and what we have taught so far, and I feel some of these things should be understood better in the next 5-6 years. So if you think you understand what we're saying now, you get it better. Amen. Jonah went to Tarshish. Then we saw him end up in this fish's belly. And eventually came out. And that's where we are, Jonah chapter 3. So let's get started now. We stopped in verse 10 last week. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. That's Nineveh. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them. And he did it not. And so we said, the book of Jonah shows us that revival is possible. I want you to maintain laser focus this morning. He said, the book of Jonah shows us that revival is possible. Say with me, revival is possible.
Revival is possible.
That means no matter how far gone a man is, he said, I've gone so far. Pastor, if you understand the things I've done, no matter how far gone, revival is possible. But revival is not possible when people don't go to preach. Last week we enjoined ourselves and encouraged ourselves to reach out to at least someone. How many of us did that? Let me see your hands. You reached out to someone about Jesus. And I want you to keep up with that. Because what the book of Jonah shows us is that Nineveh would eventually perish if Jonah did not go. And I ask you, how many people are just waiting for you to say a word or two, to encourage them, to comfort them, to tell them about Jesus? And they are waiting for you. So we see that revival only tarries when we don't move. Those in Nineveh can be rescued. If we move, Nineveh will be rescued if we move. Amen. So in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, that's where we are now. Excited. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Now that's the word, exceedingly. And we're going to see why I put that initials in his name again. So if you think he has repented, we're about to see something else. Hallelujah. We said, this prophet's name is what? J-O-Amitai. Amen. And the O is not in the scriptures, but we see it in his life. We said the O is Olorikunkun, stubborn person. We saw it when God sends him to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. God sent him to Sokoto. He went to South Africa. He went to Johannesburg. Stubborn. Then eventually God sent a wind. Okay, bring Jonah. Remind him that he's on the wrong plane, on the wrong flight, on the wrong ship. Jonah said, rather than go to that Nineveh, throw me into the sea. I'm not going there. So we said, J-O. Amen. They threw him into the sea. God eventually took him there. And eventually he preached. Can we say hallelujah? I remember last week we clapped for Uncle Jonah. prophet, we clapped, right? We clapped him. But let's see. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray you, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and you repent you of the evil. So Jonah knew something about God. He said, God is gracious. Can we say together, God is gracious?
God is gracious.
And that's what I'm saying this morning, that one of the deceptions of the devil is to tell you that you have gone too far. God is gracious. I had the privilege of talking to someone during the week, and she confided in me with some of, not a member of our church, by the way. She said a lot of things. And I said, so, after this, do you still think that I have a place with God? And I said, you do. You do. Don't forget, one of the things we learned from Jonah was that no matter how gone you are, no matter how much you think you have sunk, even in the fish's belly, we said, look towards where? Huh? Jonah said, even in the belly of hell, I will look towards your holy temple. I said, one of the deceptions of the devil is to make you think you have gone too far. Too far to be redeemed. Too far to be rescued. Too far for God to step in. But that's not true. As in with Nineveh, even Jonah himself is saying, I know you are a gracious God. So never let that leave your mind. That God is gracious, truly. Say, God is gracious. And I experience His grace. I receive His grace. Never let sin take that from you. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we will confess our sins and repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us all sins and to cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. He is faithful and just. That means, regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you've been, regardless of the things you've touched, He is faithful and just to forgive. If you want Him, if you run to Him, He's here with you. Amen. I'm talking to someone. Please remind me, there are certain people I want to pray for this morning after this teaching. Hallelujah. So you can take God by His word. He can be trusted. He forgives and He cleanses. We receive forgiveness of sins. Amen. For those who are working with guilt and sin consciousness, there's just something about you that you feel, I can't continue like this. And I don't know if God has forgiven me. I'm telling you for free this morning, you're forgiven. You are forgiven. God is not counting your trespasses against you. So let go of that chain. Let go of the chain. Don't hold on to it anymore. Walk in His forgiveness and find your new freedom. Amen. So the word of God, when it is preached, brings revival. That's what we see in the book of Jonah. The people of Nineveh repented. When God's word is preached without not just eloquence of man's wisdom, when God's word is preached, not just motivational speech, when God's word is preached properly as it ought to, it brings revival. That's what we see in the book of Jonah. As we wrap up. But something that intrigues me in the book of Jonah, and I want you to listen very well, is that a man can bring revival and he himself is not revived. Nineveh heard God's word. They repented. But Jonah, the messenger, is angry they repented. He's extremely angry. What's the word? Jonah, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And I'm going to show you that he's a man of extreme emotions. You must watch for that. It displeased Jonah exceedingly that people got saved. So a man can bring revival. A man can preach revival as I'm preaching now. A man can sing revival and he himself remains the same. I pray for you that in the kingdom of God, you will not be a signpost.
Amen.
That points others to it, but never gets there himself. The signpost is always outside. Tells others healing is happening here, but the signpost is not healed.
That was Jonah.
The people changed. The people repented. But here's Jonah. Exceedingly sad. Angry. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech you, take my life from me. What with Jonah and dying? He rather die. I will show you 4 times in the book. We've seen it on the sea, in the ship, right? Where he said, rather than go to Nineveh, throw me. I want to die. Now, the second time, we are seeing, he said, take my life from me. I would rather die. It is better for me to die than to live. Why? Because people got saved. What could have made Jonah take this kind of, say this kind of thing? He was angry. With who? With God? With Nineveh? With himself? Who was Jonah angry with or at? Or is it with God? God is doing? Someone can bring a message of life and he lives in death. That's why, even as a Christian, as you reach out to others and you tell them about Jesus, you take an introspective look. You take a look on the inside. I say, take a look on the inside. That's why when I'm teaching you, I tell you, I take the same advice for myself. I take the same counsels for myself. Why? It is possible for the wheat and the tares to grow together. Jonah was preaching revival. And right in his own heart, he's not revived. That will not be our case. Someone can preach freedom and he himself is oppressed. Look at how Paul puts it. So put a marker in Jonah 4. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. See what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. We're going to read from verse 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but only one receives the prize? So maybe at this point, they were not doing first, second, third. So Paul says everybody runs the race, but only one receives the prize. But these days now there's silver and there's bronze, right? So if Paul had known, he would have said three receives the prize. And I even hear now that in some primary schools, there are no primary schools again. Basic. What do they call it? Montessori people. Great. Are you Montessori? Who is a teacher? Primary school. Okay. Thank you. Headmistress. Alright. In some primary schools, they even give everybody, all the 8 tracks. They say nobody's a failure. We don't call our students failure, but he failed though. You know, we should not also be liars. Amen. Someone, they finished race since. Someone that stopped halfway to look at biscuits. You gave him murder. He said, nobody's a failure. It's okay. I agree with you. You might not agree with me. We are on the same page. But Paul says, one wins the prize. Verse 25. And every man strives for the mastery. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all these things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are going for an incorruptible crown. Please look at your Bibles. He's talking about your Christian race. He said, it's for an incorruptible crown. Verse 26. I, Paul, therefore, so run, not as uncertainty, and I don't fight like one that is beating the air. Can we verse 27 together? I want to go. But I keep under my body, and I bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached unto others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul tells us that there is a possibility that a man preaches to everybody and he himself is a castaway. We see that in Jonah. We see that in Jonah. There's nothing the devil wants to make a man than the one who has an Ishmael. I taught you last December. He wants a man that puts together people's marriages, but he's failing at home. The one who lays hands on the sick, but he's got sickness in his body, but will not be that. Amen. The book of Jonah opens to us a different perspective of ministry. That someone can preach what he is not. Jonah preached the grace of God, but he didn't display it. We didn't see an example of that in his life. He was exceedingly angry, displeased that he repented. Lest, when I have preached unto others, Paul says, I will now be disqualified. We need to pray this morning, amen, that we don't become the very things we preach against. Amen. I said we don't become the very things we preach against. Amen. So never forget that your personal conviction is too important. It's too vital. Your fellowship is vital. Never leave your own soul unattended to. You are a cell leader, yes. Cater for your own soul. Yeah, you disciple people. You have someone you teach God's word. Cater for your own soul. Because sometimes we can get so encumbered with the work in Nineveh that we forget that we are also prophets. Jonah was displeased. And it's funny because this chapter reveals a lot about the life of Jonah. I think this is my favorite chapter. Not even when he went to Tarshish or he went to Joppa. This is deeply humbling that you can preach salvation and you still don't want it to happen. What was Jonah looking for? Is it that he was so concerned about his prophecy coming to pass? I've said that before. You know when the prophet has said they will be destroyed and they are no longer destroyed. People can start to doubt that. Are you really a prophet? And the more you explain, so I saw a joke. He said, so the guy has money in his account, but his bank was not going through. So he wanted to transfer money to someone, and his bank was not opening. So someone said, don't worry, we have all been there. I was once broke like you. And I said, no, I have money. Someone said, the more you try to explain, the more it looks ridiculous. Unfortunately for him, his car was with the mechanic. His car was with the mechanic. And he was standing by the road. So the same person that paid for his saloon money when he wanted to transfer money now saw him by the road and said, let me carry. And I said, no, I'm waiting for the mechanic, but my phone is dead. And I said, stop all this. You don't have to hide. You don't have to man to man. Are we? He said, no, I have a car. Let's go. So God said, don't bother to explain. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at Jonah. Prophet Jonah again. He was angry. Angry at his reputation. What was he angry about? Is it reputation? Is it what he has said before? Is it the fact that he's always a prophet that says something and it comes to pass? Then suddenly God is saying, I'm not interested in their death. I want them to come back. Jonah said, I have told them they will die. He said, I know you're a gracious God. I want you to bank on that. Is that clear? Let me throw something out. The story of Jonah preaching to them and then still displeased that he got saved. What story does it remind you of in the Bible? I know you're a gracious God and you are quick to forgive. I've given you the answer. Tick, tick, tick. Put on your thinking caps. As long as I said that, you are scanning. Kid and Abel. No. You can start from Genesis. I might be throwing you off the hook by saying that. Anyone? You can guess. You don't have to be right. I'm the one that is right. I have it in my book. The Children of Israelites. Okay, no. Open to the book of Luke chapter 15. Verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, and I wanted to say it to Onuro. He had two sons. We know the story, right? So let's read on. Oh God. And I wanted to give you $10,000. It's a lie. The younger man says to the father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided him among his living. He went out, he spent it all. Verse 14. In verse 15, he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And when he would faint, and have filled his belly with the horses of the swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants does my father have? They have enough bread and enough to spare. And I am here perishing with hunger. Verse 18. I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of these hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. And the father said to his servant, bring the best robe, put it on him, put the ring on his hand and shoe on his feet. And bring now the fattest cow and kill it. Let us eat and marry. For my son was dead and he is alive again. All right, so he shows you the parable because the boy was alive, right? My son was dead, boy is alive again. He was lost, he's found, and he began to marry. Now the elder son was in the field. And he came and he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he said, and he called one of the servants and said, what's happening? Where's the party? And he said unto him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the father's calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore the father came out and entreated him. So do you see Jonah in this elder brother? Huh? What ought to make him glad was it making him sad? Why is this brother not rejoicing that his brother is back home? The parable of the prodigal tells us much about this. So we see the elder brother in Jonah. And look at what God said to Jonah. Verse 4. So after Jonah said in verse 3, Jonah chapter 4 verse 3, he said, I want to die. I'd rather die than to live. Then God said in verse 4, are you sure you are right to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? God's passion is for Nineveh to repent. Why is Jonah angry? Verse 5. And that was the same thing. Yeah. I'm just looking at Luke 11. I learned something. And Luke 15 rather. Verse 29. And he answered and said unto his father, said, these many years I serve you. I neither transgressed at any time your commandment, and you have never even given me a kid. A kid is not children, it's small goods, that I might marry with my friends. But as soon as this your son, look at that, look at the play of words. This your son, it's not my brother, it's your son, was come home, who has devoured your living with Alot. He was not there. You have killed for him the fattest calf. And he said to him, son, all that I have is yours. It was me that we should marry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, is lost and is found. And God is entreating Jonah too. Why are you angry? Verse 4, is it right for you to be angry? Let me give you a story. So, some years ago, I went to preach somewhere. And it was a youth meeting, youth convention. I can't mention the name of the church, because what happened shocked me. And I don't think any church should act like that. So I was privileged to preach there, and by God's grace, people were convinced. Some even cried before the altar call. Before I made an altar call, people cried to the front and said, I want Jesus and all of that. Do you know the pastorate were angry at me? That people did not dance to give offering. That because of the conversion and everything, that I mellowed down the atmosphere. People did not dance to give. So I was meant to teach on the Saturday morning. So they collected offering before I started teaching. Continue preaching. Jonah. Before you answer preaching, they collected offering. Sometimes, do we want revival? Jonah preached revival. I don't think he wanted Nineveh to repent. Look at verse 5, Jonah chapter 4. So Jonah went out to the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there was made him a booth. And he sat under the shadow. That what? Till he might see what would become of the city. He came out of the city. He's still expecting that there should be destruction now. He wanted to see what would become of the city. From ignoring God's call to go to Joppa, to ending in the fish's belly. And the man said, I will return that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And we clapped him. Abi? And we said, man can repent. Then he went to Nineveh, told them, repent 40 days or die. That die must have been stronger than the repent. Amen. Repent for 40 days or die, die, die. And he said, we will not die. And everybody repented. And Jonah is now saying, I'm waiting. What will become of the city? Verse 6. The Lord God had prepared a plant. The word God, there is a plant. And made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head and deliver him from his grief. God is wonderful. Even while Jonah is angry, just like the elder brother in the prodigal son's story, the father still came out. He said, your seat is empty inside. Come inside. I know we don't have Christians like that yet. That when someone gets saved and gets they repent, you are sad. Is that you? Is that you? Someone who used to play God and play church is suddenly serious and you're not happy. Is that you? Okay. But it's not enough not just to be sad. Are you glad? Because look at what happened now. God made a plan to come over the head of Jonah. Then, Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. So I told you, I said he's a man of extreme emotions. One minute you're exceedingly displeased and angry. The other minute you're exceedingly glad because of a plant. What excites you? Nineveh or a plant that just sprung up? You might not be sad that Nineveh got repented. You might not be angry. You might not be displeased. But it does not excite you. When you see a party like that prodigal son, you're wondering, what's going on? Why are we happy? Why is it that people are glad when they go to church? It doesn't excite you. The life of Jonah is a pointer for us about what truly matters. 1 minute, he's exceedingly angry about Nineveh, that he repented, by the way. The other minute, he's exceedingly glad about a plant that came from nowhere. What are you glad about? God sent you as a missionary, but now you're a businessman. Business is not bad. The plant was not the issue. The issue was your emotions are all over the place. I've said it before, whether you're in this church or not, watch the things that excite you and watch the things that don't get to you. The reason why a lot of people do not go on outreaches and reach out to others about Jesus is because it doesn't excite them actually. Let me say it this way. You do every time what excites you. There's a saying, there is someone that you don't like that you say their house is far. Right? Some of you had friends that were in like distant places and you still go there because they are your friends. But when I say, your house is too far, that's why. I not really like it like that. Because man will always do what excites him. So the reason why you don't go on outreach is not because you don't know the importance, it's because it doesn't get to you actually. Like Jonah, you are excited about other things. You're excited about the prospect of getting married. That's what excites you. You saw this Jesus thing. Important, but I really don't care. When you say personal fellowship, when you say consecration, I don't really care. Something else excites you. Just like Jonah. And there is no way I'm going to pray for you that you end like Jonah. It's not a good place to end. It's not a good place to be. Where the work of God, the purpose of God He has placed on your hands by privilege, doesn't even excite you. Does not really get to you. I was talking to a young minister like myself. I'm a very young minister. I'm 16. I'll be 17 next week. And he was saying things like, I can't wait for the church to grow, his church. I can't wait for the church to grow. So right now they're about 25, 26. I can't wait for church to grow into hundreds and thousands and all that. I said, yeah, this is a good thing, growth. You know. And he said something that took me as a shock. He said, then it will be very exciting to preach. And I said, say it again. He said, emoji, you have heard something. You have heard something. Yeah, you're about to correct me. I said, just say it again. There's something I heard. I'm not sure you said it. He said, it will be more exciting. I'm not saying it's not exciting now. I'm not saying it's not exciting now. I said, it will be more exciting to preach. And I said, it will never be. If you're not faithful in little, you will not be faithful in much. It excites me to share God's word with one person. The same way it excites me to share with 10 million. My message will not change. The same thing I will tell two people is what I will share to 2,000 people. Is what I will share to 20,000 people. You know what excites me? A soul hearing God's word. So at work, I was talking to one of my staff members. And we were just talking about the Bible and all of that. So she said something that really took me. She said, your face lit up when you were sharing, because he was asking some questions about Genesis, Adam, Eve, garden. So I started telling him, he said, so after we are done, he said, I saw a glow on your face. Your face was lit up when you were saying. I said, hey, really? I expect it. I love talking about it. I love sharing about Jesus. It excites me. Does it excite you? Jonah has the capacity to be excited. You know, all throughout, we have been thinking this guy is just a moody guy, moody prophet, close to Lamentations, close to Jeremiah, far from John. But we were wrong. He has the capacity to be excited, apparently, but about plants, about things that give him comfort. That's the only thing that excites him. When he gets a new phone, when he gets a new laptop, football excites him. Politics excites him. The things that make him feel convenient and comfortable. But when you say outreach, Jonah is displeased. When he says, have you study group? Which study group are you in? Jonah is displeased. Jonah does not like that conversation. Brothers and sisters, don't be Jonah. Are we learning something? He was exceedingly glad. What really took me is not the glad. He said exceedingly glad. Meaning, Jonah was jumping like a baby. A plant over my head at last. What excites you? He said, there'll be teaching meeting this weekend. Here we go again. There'll be prayer meeting. Here we go again. But let's say the entire church will be going to give me Kinnikum Beach. Bring on your party vibes. Church. Says for bonding. Don't we bond every December? Eh? Am I lying? Don't we bond every December? In that place. We bond or we don't bond? If you don't say we bond, I will ensure you bond more. We bond or we don't bond? We play game, we don't play game. Thank you. Are we not in different group? Platoon? Eh? Eh? Those questions, is it interesting or is it not interesting? If you have not come for a retreat before, that's where we bond. Am I right? Is that Obi Chukwu? We bond, yeah. We play. And we eat. We don't eat, have we don't eat? Free food, have we not free food? Okay, you pay. I paid for the registration. Hallelujah. What excites you? You see, as I just say, we play game, we don't play games. You're already excited. You teach it, likely. Don't talk about that outreach. Something excites you. Look for it. And check. Like I said, so that after you have preached to others, you don't become disqualified. I tell myself that too. So that after all these outreaches, after all these seminars, after all these prayer meetings, prayer groups, vigils, you don't hear, you never did anything. Something excites Jonah, apparently. But it's a plant over his head. We're going to pray for ourselves this morning, really. So Jonah was exceedingly glad, verse 6, because of the plant. Verse 7. See God, I said God is wonderful, right? He made a plant to come over his head. Then he removed it. But God, verse 7, had prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day to smote, and it smote the plant that he withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. Amen. God, if God wants you to learn your lesson, you will learn it. But if Jonah learned it, you will see. God now removed the plant, prepared a worm, eat it up. God said, you, son, Jonah's head. I don't care if the entire world has an eclipse. Jonah's head must feel it today. Amen. If you like, let him carry afro. Jonah's head. So, God said, and he made the sun to beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted. And he what? Look at people like this. Any small thing. Let me just die. What is in death that you're looking for? Some people is not death. Any small thing. I want to leave the church. It's the church. It's church. It's church in my head. It's not church in your head. You are just following Jonah's syndrome. It's a Jonah syndrome where you have a quick fix that is not God's solution. A place you just run to, but it's not God's idea. Jonah said he wished himself to die and said it. It's not just wish it. It is better for me to die than to live. Again, we are seeing it again. Mr. Death. Could this be the reason why he wanted Nineveh to be destroyed? He rather wished death on them. Why is Jonah angry about the plants that appeared in the night and disappeared in the night? Boy, he's not pleased with the people that repented. Human beings. Priorities have been misplaced. Are your priorities intact? Angry for Nineveh, but glad for the plant. What makes you glad? What makes you sad? What makes you glad? What makes you sad? What are the things that when they say, you say, ah, that cannot be happening in church. That cannot be happening to Christians. Ah, that brother that used to preach, no. Ah, why is he like this now? Does he make you sad? And when you see someone who did not used to serve God, now serving God, you just see that, it doesn't excite you. It's a Jonah syndrome. It doesn't end well. And I pray for you this morning that your priorities are set back into God's priorities. Amen. You will miss your purpose. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 9. And God said to Jonah, are you sure you're doing well to be angry for the plant? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto Olori Kukun. He is willing to just die. Than for Nineveh to repent, than for him to be glad. No. Kill me. He's telling God, Kuku, kill me. God said, no. The sun will beat over your head. You will learn the lesson. For some of you, God has not sent the wind. He has not sent the sun. He has not sent the fish. He's sending the salmon. Will you listen? Will you listen? I pray you listen. Even unto death. Then said the Lord, verse 10, you have pity on the plant for which you have not labored. You did not make it grow. It came up in the night and it perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where there are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and so much cattle? God is bringing his priorities back. What's more important? You studying your Bible and praying. You know that when we were in children's church, there's that simple song. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. How simple was that? When last did you read your Bible? You take away midweek service and Sunday. I'm not talking online. You carried your Bible and you opened it and you read it. You can make all the confessions you want. I'm not a Jonah. I'm not this. Hope your actions are not betraying what you're saying. Because we said, Tarshish does not happen in a day. It starts with Joppa. It starts with not reading your Bible. It starts with not praying. And because you still have the same number of hours in a day, it means you are using it for something else. Now you're more on Facebook, you're more on Twitter, you're more on this. Some even use it for games. That's when the devil quietly introduced some sites to some people. Websites that everybody cannot see. This teaching, I don't know how to teach it. Because it concerns me too. I don't know how to teach it. Only God can put it in your heart. Jonah was not just a church member. He was a prophet. Yet he ended up like this. Emotions everywhere. He didn't know what he wanted out of God's purpose again. He just said, let me die. That's a bad place to be. He was glad about the things that brings him comfort more than what God's plan suggests. God made him to be a preacher, one who heals the sick. But here is Jonah, waiting outside the city, waiting for it to be destroyed. Just like the prodigal brother. He would rather his brother never come home. He would rather his brother stayed lost. That party is getting him angry. What the father is doing is getting him angry. And whether we like it or not, one day we are all going to stand before him. And he will ask you, why were you angry? It's not a matter of someone hurt you in church. It's not a matter of someone said what you didn't like. There's no perfect church. Even if you go to the moon, to fellowship, they will hurt you there. There's no perfect pastor. I am not even close to it. What you came to serve, who you came to serve is Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. You're serving him with others. Oh, you're serving him, not me. You're not serving Boshola. You're not serving your unit leader. You're not serving Sister Judith. You're serving Jesus. God says, should I not spare Nineveh? And I came to his submission. And listen to me. I said, could the book of Jonah and this experience be more about Jonah than Nineveh? Because obviously, God was teaching him something. He brought revival to a city, but he himself remained the same. Imagine preaching to thousands of people, and they all repented, and Jonah's life was still the same. Nothing changed about it. In fact, if anything, the devil had more room. The devil had more room to operate. Paul says, not that after I have preached, I become a castaway myself. I will not become a castaway. Jonah really was the man God wanted to rescue. Yeah, he wanted to rescue Nineveh. But he wanted to rescue Jonah. We must look on the inside. That God does not just use us to fulfill his plans, but we never get there. There were people that God saved by Judas. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent disciples out 2 by 2, right? And they came back. They said, demons were subject to us through your name. Judas was one of those that went out. But he was doomed. Eventually, they said, his place, let another person take. I don't want to be a signpost. I want to be exactly who God has made me to be. What he has proposed for my life. No, no. I want my emotions in the right place. Are you listening to me? Jonah is the man God wanted to rescue. But you observe the book of Jonah ended with a question mark. Did he repent? We don't know. Did he say, forgive me, Lord, about Nineveh? We don't know. Just ended with a question mark. God just asked him a question and left it like that. It's a sad ending. It's a sad ending. He never got to talk like Paul. I have run my race. I have finished my course. Paul said, I did it with joy. Peter said, when I am old, they will carry me. I have done what the Lord asked me to do. James said the same thing. For Jonah, we don't even know how it ended. I have combed and combed and combed throughout the scriptures. We still don't have an ending to it. His life and ministry ended with a question mark. God said, do you think you are right to be angry? Do you think what you're doing makes sense? Do you think this is my plan? And God left it there. Pray for me as I close. Are you excited about an emergency plan? Things that will fade away actually. That's the symbolism of that. God said, you are excited about something that came up in the night and will perish in the night. Things that don't have a bearing on your eternity. I've said it over and over again. You see, this life that we live in now is the shortest part of your existence. You will live 150 years, or you have 200 years. It's still the shortest part of your existence. It came up in the night. It will be down in the night. One day, we'll be faced with the judge of one man, one God. And he'll ask questions that I hope will not be difficult for us to answer. Jonah was a church person like you and I. Are you listening to me? He's not an Herod. He's not a pilot. He's not a Pharaoh. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a prophet. And his ministry ended in a question mark. We could not even make sense of everything. Sorry, can you make sense of his ministry? Huh? We read somewhere, he's a prophet of Gat Ephah, who God used mightily. Then God said, that's gone. Now, take my word, go to Nineveh. Then he ran to Tarshish, went to Joppa. From Joppa, fish belly. He said, I have repented. God, hear my cry. God commanded the fish to put him on back to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh. Grudgingly, he gave the salmon. He thought, maybe if I deliver it grudgingly, they will not get saved. But God's word has the power inherent in itself to heal, to save, right? Paul calls it the power of God on salvation. That's the word. Whether you desire to deliver it with joy or not, it will get people saved. What they need to hear is the word. You are a... Eh? He is the one that owns the word. Exactly. This speaker says the only says the things I say. If I sign up to talk, he keeps mute. The moment I talk, he says what I say. This is what we are. So if this speaker life deliver with emotion, deliver with anger, deliver with with wrath, people will still hear. So no matter how angry Jonah sounded to Nineveh, they got saved. They ate God. The Spirit of God worked in them, but was not working in Jonah. Meaning a man can bring message of life and salvation to people, and he himself is bound to end with a question mark. He himself is bound that at the end of his life and ministerial journey, we are looking at Jonah and say, so what happened? This great man of God that reigned in, we know how Elijah ended. With all the turmoils of Jezebel and Ahab and all the troubles of Israel. Elijah said, if you will see me go. He knew his end. And he left an impact. Double portion on Elisha. We saw how Elisha ended. That such that even when he was dead, his bones were still raising the dead. A soldier mistakenly just went to Elisha's grave to hide from the enemy. A dead body in Elisha's grave still received life. What about Jonah? How did he end? Because they were prophets in the same time. They were prophets in the same era. How did Jonah end? How does the ministry of a man of God like that end in a question mark? No definite end. The last thing we saw about him was that he was excited about vanities. But he told us that those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah 2:8. He said, those who observe lying vanities, they forsake a grace that could have been theirs. He said that. And I'm saying this because it's getting to me too. Because sometimes we can get so lost in the euphoria of worship, in the euphoria of church, and we get lost that we are losing our personal convictions. And begin to ask God, at what point did I become this? At what point did Jonah start getting angry that people loved God? You might say, oh, that's extreme for me. I can never get there. But are you a Joppa? It doesn't get you sad, but it doesn't get you excited. That's Joppa. Joppa is that middle ground. I'm still attending church. My heart is just not there. You have never, in the recent times, just stood up to pray by yourself. So ask God, what do you want me to do? No. That only happens in service. Joppa. Joppa. May your life not end with a question. Where God is, even God doesn't know how, we don't know how it ended. We don't know how it ended. What did Jonah do? Was he now excited about Nineveh? Did he feel remorseful? What ended the book of the life of Jonah? May we not run a million miles in the wrong direction. God told him something that should bother us. Why are you excited about a plant that came up in the night and will perish in the night? Why are you excited about a plant that came up in the night and will perish in the night? The plant is good. It covers you from the sun. It covers you from the pouring rain. But that's the only thing that excites you, Jonah. Can we pray? Huh? Let's pray for ourselves. What a reminder the book of Jonah is to us. Help me, Lord Jesus. And all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. I don't want to become the things I preach against. I don't want to be used for revival and I don't get revived. I don't want to use the sick and remain sick in my body. I don't want to preach salvation and end up a castaway. Help my decisions, Lord. Help my resolve. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Like Paul said, so that I haven't preached to others, I don't become myself a castaway. I don't want my ministry to end in a question mark. What happened? I want to run the race with joy. I want to fulfill your plans for my life. Help my emotions. Help my emotions, Lord. Let what gladdens your heart gladden my heart, Lord. What excites you, let it excite me. What saddens you, Lord, let it sadden me. I want what you want for the same reasons you want them. I want what you want, Lord Jesus. Help me to see beyond now. To see beyond this present lifetime. To see the plant as it arose in the night, it will perish in the night. Let me help my perspectives. Help my perspectives. Give me your word view. Make this present world shrink in my eyes. Give me your word view. Give me your word view, Lord. Give me your word view. I worship you. Ooh. You're the reason I live. And I worship you. Pray for yourself. Like Jonah said, you are a gracious God. And I know we can back on that. You're faithful and just. To forgive. To restore. To revive. To teach. To mold again. I know I am not lost. Because you're with me. You found me. Teach me, Lord Jesus. Help my perspective. Show me your glory. Show me your plans. Show me your purpose for my life.